good service at 11 o'clock. Just really like the, need that kind of preaching. Keep us in line anyway. And the Lord's really been working. Me and Brother Vernon have been doing a lot of studying back and forth. And just open our eyes to some things we've never seen. Sometimes I take it a little far. And I was telling, the other night, it was a little after midnight. So I got to just pull myself away. I got to go to bed. And I got to get some sleep. And then last night, again, none. I asked my wife. She was up with me all night long. Just no sleep whatsoever. So I have my good and bad times. And when they're bad, they're just bad. But nonetheless, we're going to, the Lord gave me this last week. Just me and my wife went through a lot of stuff. And the Lord showed me a lot of things. And me and her sat down, went back and forth through the Bible together. And cried together and prayed together. And just really, just Lord showed us a lot of things. This is before I even started studying. And just some things me and her had to get right in our life. We're not perfect. We still have a lot to go. But this is one more step closer to having that relationship that you long for with the Lord. You know, I mean, when you're saved, you start longing for a relationship to get closer, not farther. A lot of people these days, including Baptists, have that backwards. So they get saved and they move farther away from God instead of closer. And I just think it's backwards. It's not right. You should want to have that longing in your heart to move forward, to move closer to God. Let Him work in your life and give you things, you know. And I don't mean give you things as in, you know, give you a Cadillac and a house and so on. I mean just enough strength to get through what you need to get through. Amen. I told Amy, I said, you know, kids, they wrestle all the time. And you know what do they say when they give up? Uncle. They're done. That's me. It's Uncle, you win. Well, every time the Lord brings something to me and Amy, we end up calling Uncle pretty quickly. Uncle. So we don't ever have a chance to trust Him. We don't ever have a chance to go through what He wants us to go through because we were too busy calling Uncle. I said, it's just time to buckle down and go through it, Amy. Just, you know, we got to learn how to trust Him more. We trust ourselves. We trust everything else. But we're not trusting God. The one who saved us. We're not trusting Him that He can get us through this. He knows what we need. He knows what we have to go through. And we got to just stop yelling Uncle so quickly.
Amen.
Just got to go through it. And how are you going to get close? How are you going to fall in love with Him? How are you going to know what He can and can't do for you if you're not allowing Him to allow you to go through things and put you through things and so on like that? You'll never know that close relationship if you don't ever go through something with Him. And just know He's got you. I forgot the name of the song, but He says, during the storms, let me rest in the hollow of your hand. And that always just got me. And resting in the hollow of His hand. Safe. But we don't see it that way. Everything starts coming and blowing and everything else. And we just want to, oh no, let's solve it ourselves. Let's get ourselves involved in this and let's take care of it. The mistakes I've seen over the past few months are the mistakes that I've made by stepping in when God should have been the one doing it, and I stepped in and tried to solve it. And I just wasn't trusting Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, everybody knows that verse pretty well, but how many of you really live in it every day? How many of you really trust Him with all your heart? That's what it says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to your own understanding. You see, that has a different meaning when you take it for what it really says. There's, well, yeah, I trust the Lord, do you? How'd that problem work out for you last week that you said you were going to put in God's hand? I seen you solved it. What's wrong? You're afraid God wasn't going to solve it for you? Afraid He couldn't take care of it? He said, I always preach to people. I say, hey, I'm always telling people, and Chris would have heard me say this, you know, people just want to take God and put Him in a box and set Him on a shelf. Because that's just how small they make God. So you know what, Amy, me and you have been doing that. We don't trust that He can take care of our problems. We want to tell Him about our problems and we want to say, oh yeah, you're such a big God here, I'm going to pull you off the shelf first. when problems comes, He's in that box just like everybody else puts Him in that box. We think that our problems are just way too big for God.
Come on.
You'll never learn how to trust Him. And that's why I told Amy, it's going to be hard, but we'll never learn how to trust Him if we don't take Him out of that box and let Him do what He needs to do. He needs to do. If we lose cars, if we can't pay bills, whatever else, let Him get us through it and see what He does for us. I guarantee it's going to be a lot better than what me and you've ever done. it's the point of getting to that point in your life. That's a hard place to be because we trust ourselves. We don't trust anything else. But my message is forgotten what the Lord has forgiven. Forgotten what the Lord has forgiven. We go on our daily life every day and we have forgotten what the Lord has forgiven us for. We've forgotten what He has brought, where He's brought us from. We have forgotten and turned our back on everything He's done for us. That's what we've done. People say how much they love the Lord and they want to worship Him and everything else, and they have no clue. They have forgotten why they even do it anymore. Just forgotten. Left that in the dust. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 6. And, my things in my past, I don't get convicted of them anymore, but, God brings me a reminder once in a while of the things that I was and who I used to be. And I believe He does that because my heart starts getting I start complaining too much. I start forgetting how to worship. I start forgetting how to trust God. And I start complaining too much. He says, remember this? I remember that. Ooh. Do I want to? No, I do not. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's not salvation. That's an inheritance. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivals, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And such were some of you. He goes off and he rambles off this whole list of things. He says, in the church pew, here you sit, and you were some of them people. How many of you today are sitting here and you're saved, and you're not one of those people? We have a tendency to forget about what the Lord has brought us from. We start looking at all these other people. We start judging them because we forgot where God has brought us from.
That's right.
We forgot that God has called us out of something to go and do something. And those very ones that He's called us to help, we want to put judgment on them. We want to look at them all cross-eyed and funny. And we want nothing to do with them. And He says, well, such were some of you. How quickly we have forgotten what Jesus has done for us. How quickly we have forgotten that day you realized, oh my goodness, and He dealt with your heart. And you got it right with Him. And you looked at that cross for forgiveness. And He washed you in the blood. And you have forgotten what you were. You have forgotten about what He has forgiven in your life. It has no meaning anymore. But I'll tell you what, if it did, you'd be doing a lot more than what you do. God didn't save us just to sit on our rear ends and do nothing about anything. He saved us to go out there and tell. You look at everybody that He ever touched in the Bible, what's the first thing they did? They went out and told everybody. I got healed. I got it, man. I'm okay. Everything's good. I'm clothed in my right mind now. I'm all right. And just go out there excited and happy. Same people don't do that anymore today. No. I just told my Sunday school class that. I said, what happened when people got saved and went out there and told their family, told their boss, and told it? No, they sit on it. Two things happened. One, you never got saved. Or number two, you're ashamed of your salvation. That's what happens. How quickly we have forgotten where Jesus has forgiven us and taken us from. And it wasn't for ourselves. Yes, He saved us so we wouldn't go to hell. Yes, He saved us because He loved us. But it wasn't just to sit around and do nothing. And I'm not talking about going out there being a preacher, a street preacher, or this and that. But there's something out there. There's somebody you could be telling. There's somebody you could be a witness to.
Amen.
There's somebody you should be excited about what happened in your life. Hard times, bad times. I go through horrible, miserable depressions and everything else. But I tell you what, I'm so happy about where I came from. I'm so happy about what Jesus had pulled me out of.
That'll wake him up.
That'll get him. Wake up! That's the thing about being a Baptist, man. We get done with 11 o'clock preaching, go downstairs, eat, get our belly full, and we're ready for a nap. Preaching, what do you mean? But I'm just, how quickly we forget where God has brought us from, and He has not brought us just to sit around. Could you imagine, Amy, if we just went home and left Christianity right here where our kids would be? What would they see, you think? A lot of people say, yes, I'd love my kids to be saved, and I would love for them to do this and that, but you leave Bible right here when you leave here. You don't bring it home so your kids aren't catching on. They don't see it. Don't forget where you came from because you're sending your kids there. You're going to send them there. Why? Because we treat them the same way our parents treated us. I remember the times. It wasn't just so long ago I looked at Amy and said, oh my gosh, a few months ago or whatever. I said, Amy, I'm becoming the two people that I did not want to become. Oh, help me. Get me out of that. I don't want to be those two people. Please, no. Don't let me be like that. God forbid, he saved me out of that. He saved me from that so that my kids, that cycle could be broken and my kids don't have to go through it. Thank God. And such were some of you. And such were some of us. That statement in this verse is a well-forgotten verse. How quick we are to forget what and where the Lord has called us from. As God saved Israel out of Egypt, which is a picture of the world, and fed them manna, all then became unthankful and complainers. This too is where we have become. Instead of looking back at such were some of you, but you are now washed, we complain for what we do have and what God has saved us from. We don't want God's manna. We want God and the world's manna. And we have become ungrateful, unthankful, and put God on the back burner. How quick we have forgotten from what the Lord has forgiven us from and what he has saved us from. He pulls them out of Egypt and gets them out there. And he gets them out there they're out there and they're starting to complain. They're starting to moan and groan. And you know what? God has saved us from the world. And guess what we're doing? We're complaining. We're moaning and groaning. We don't want what he has. At one time, we got all emotional. Oh, yeah, Lord, I really see what you're trying to do for me. And I really see what I need. We get all that emotional worked up. And then after salvation, bam, we're done with it. I don't want what you have to rescue me, Lord. I don't want with the leeks and the onions. I don't want the man and the... I want something else. You see, people want God and they want the world as well. Not having that. A saved person isn't going to have both. Two things going to happen. I say it all the time. The Word says it. Go look it up. It says, one, if you live by the flesh, you're going to die by the flesh. Or you just didn't get saved. It's not going to go out there. Listen, God didn't save us to be the same old person we've always meant to be, that we always were. He pulled us out of something. He pulled Israel out of Egypt to become something. He has pulled us out of this world to become something. But yet we want to feed on, continually want to feed on what the world has to give us. And have nothing to do with the Word of God. Have nothing to do with the preaching. Have nothing to do with anything the man of God has to tell us. Nothing. I can just imagine the hearts of the people sitting in this very room when Pastor was preaching on what he preached on this morning on marriage. I looked over at my wife and said, could you imagine what's in women's heart tonight? Can't handle hearing that. They don't want the things of God. They want some of the things of God. Yeah, I'll take what God says. And then you know what? When God says something like that, they don't want it. You're going to take it all. You're not going to pick and choose what God says. What he says, that's what you're going to take. That's what you're going to believe. That's what you're going to live. That's why he put it there. If you can't handle it, you got the wrong thing. You missed it. You just missed it. He gave this to us to follow for a reason. It's not here just to look at. And when a man of God preaches on something, you just sit there and go, well, that doesn't pertain to me. That doesn't pertain to 2014. Oh, it does. It sure does. It pertains to every day, every year. From now and through eternity, the Word of God will always be around. You think you're going to get in heaven and not have the Word of God? So you might as well get used to it. If you can't do it here, you ain't going to do it up there. Therefore, you're not going to even get in. You missed it. If you love me, Jesus says, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my words. You'll do what he says. Are we perfect at it? No. But we're going to keep it. We're going to strive and say, Lord, I messed up. But here, get me back on track. I need to get back into what your word says. I need to get back to where you would have me. I need you to do that. You know, we're human beings. We make mistakes. Nobody's in here in this room is perfect. But we want to strive for that. We want to strive to be holy for I am holy. Where did that go today in the churches? Who strives to be holy anymore? Who strives to live a holy and righteous life anymore? That's what makes us Bible believers different from everybody else. We strive to live holy. They don't strive to live holy. You can see it in their life. That's what he called us out to be. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. What do you think? Where does that fit in? Because that's what he calls us out from. We have to live here. We have to be part of this world. And that's why Jesus said, pray for them that are in this world. Because he knows what we're going to face here. But he says, you can't be out there like them. What are people going to see? If you can't be a witness with your mouth, you can be a witness with your life. With your lifestyle. People are watching. I bet you this. I bet you if me and Amy stopped going to church for a couple weeks, how much you want to bet me that correction officer and this and that, he noticed we didn't go off for 3-4 weeks out of our driveway. You want to make a bet on that? Bet you he watches. He knows where we're going to church. But I bet you if we quit church, he'd know. He'd be one of the first ones to know that we quit church. Because then people are watching. Then people are watching. I was face to face with this man. He worked in my dorm. I know him. He knows me. I was face to face with him behind the prison walls. I was there with him. He hears all that jailhouse religion all the time. He doesn't believe a word of it. Just me living a Christian life alone for that testimony is worth it to me.
Amen.
Just worth it to me. Because I'm an ex-convict. I'm saved by God's grace. That's not who I am anymore, but this world cannot see that. They still hold it all against me. But I don't let it bother me because I have somebody better. I have something better than what they do. He's called me out of it. Let's not forget what the Lord has forgiven us. 1 Corinthians 26:1-26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. 28, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God hath chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring naught as though they are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God has taken the chewed up, the despised, the hated, and the ruined lives of this world. And done with it, and look at he's done with us and saved our lives from utter destruction in hell and has forgiven our sins and given us a new life, and we continue to pollute his name after everything he's done for us. How do we pollute God's name? After salvation, we just go ahead and turn our back on him. We don't care about what we say in front of people. We don't care how we act in front of people. We don't care anything that goes on anymore. And we come to this church house, everything looks good, it sounds good. We hang out with the brethren, and then we walk out of here, and it's all gone. How quickly we forgot what the Lord taught us. Just as soon as this thing ends at 2:00, we're going to get in our cars and we're going to drive. How far away are you going to get before you have forgotten about what happened the whole day? How far away before you've forgotten the Bible? How far away is it going to take when you get out there? It's going to be gone. That's how quick we have forgotten. Oh, we don't forget when God's supposed to answer our prayer, though, do we? When he says he's going to do something for us, we're right on his back praying that back to him. Remember, you said this, you were going to do this for me, God. Remember, you said you were going to do this for me, God. Remember, you said you were going to do this for me, God. He's looking to go, why should I? What are you doing for me? And we don't have to work for God to reward us. But is it going to hurt you just to live your life according to what he says? And then still expect him to answer your prayers when you do whatever you want? When you can't even remember the last 3 hours of church? And you expect God just to come down, you can rub him like a little genie, poof, he's going to come down, answer it, and that's it. Not happening. Not going to happen. How quickly we have forgotten. Isaiah 48:11 says, "For mine own sake, and even my own sake will I do it, for how should my name be polluted? And I will not give glory unto another." He will not allow that to happen. He will not allow us to pollute his name. He will not allow us to give glory to another. And that includes ourselves, this world, or the God of this world.
Amen.
You start polluting, you start trying to pollute God's name, he's going to put an end to it. If you're a Christian, put your boots on because you're about ready to go on something you wish you never did. If you're not a Christian, watch it. Because I'm just telling you now, things come when you start polluting the name of God that you wish. You'll never wish on your worst enemy. God is not something you can play with. This thing here is not a joke. This relationship is a relationship that I'm just telling you, people don't understand the relationship because they don't understand the King James Bible. So many times I hear people say, well, there's nothing to that Bible. No, there's nothing to you. There's everything to that Bible. There's nothing to you. There's everything to this Bible. That's where it's at. I'm just telling you now, there's life in this thing. This thing here, man, will give you more life support than any hospital will ever give you. Ever. You want real life support? Get in that Bible. Ah, I can't understand. You know why you can't understand it? Because you won't even put your mind to it. You won't even put an hour into it and say you can't understand something. It's not like all of us sat here and were raised in the Bible and now we just understand everything. That's not how it's going. But you've got to put something into it to get something out of it. If you want something better, something different in this world, then go ahead and get in the Bible. Don't sit there and just assume there's nothing in there for me. There's everything in there for you. See it. Want it. Desire it. Love it. It's a whole new world out there how you see things. I forgot the name of the song. I think it's by the colored guy there. It was the Old Time Baptist. He says, after you get saved, the whole world just looks like it turns upside down. It's so different the way you see things. Well, you know, after you get saved, you start studying the Bible. I mean, just how different do you, you see things so different. And you'd wish, you know what your prayer becomes? That you just wish that other people could see it. You just wish, man, how come they just can't see that? I wish they could see that. I wish they could see what God is trying to show people, what He's trying to tell them, what He's trying to show. I wish they could see that. How quickly we forgot what God has forgiven. How quickly we move on. For my name's sake, I will defer mine anger. Isaiah 48 verse 9 says, for my name's sake, I will defer my anger. For my praise, I will refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. 48:10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. God will change your attitude. God will change your attitude whether you like it or not. Especially if you're His. You're walking around calling yourself a child of God and you're going to have the pollute attitude. You're going to have the attitude of complaint. You're going to have the attitude, oh, He doesn't love me. You're going to have all that kind of attitude. God has said, I will refine you, but not as silver, but in the fiery furnace of affliction. 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 That means somebody purposely doing something to you.
That's right.
God is purposely going to put you in there. Because you're no longer going to prove His name. You're no longer going to walk around a child of God, a Christian, and prove God's name. He's not having it. Let me ask you, parents in here. We all love our children. Do we not correct them? Why? Because we don't want them making us look bad. So why would God want us to do that? We're His children. What makes it any different? How quick we forget that? When none of our Christian friends are around, none of our Christian buddies are around, what's the joke you're listening to? What are you hearing?
Well,
what are you listening to? What music? Well, you flip the radio station? Nobody's around. Just listen to that. Just say it's the truth, man. The one who's the most important that you should be worried about, He sees it all. You're never alone. Don't think you're ever doing anything in secret and He's not seeing it. If so, you have the wrong God. You got the wrong one mixed up. He's not in that box blindfolded. He can see everything you're doing. You're not hiding it from Him. So you might as well just be who you are. Like Pastor says it, just makes so much sense. Whoever you are in secret, that's who you really are. Just be that person. Then I always tell the kids, don't be secretive. Just do it, man. If you're going to get in trouble, just get in trouble. If you're going to be a jerk, just be a jerk. God can deal with you better that way than the fake person. It takes a lot for God to have to break down those fake walls. A lot. If you just really be who you are, God can deal with that a whole lot better. A whole lot better. He had to break down some pretty crazy walls for me and you, huh? Pretty crazy walls. Be who you are. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, listen to this. If my people, which are called by my name, and I understand He's talking about Israel, but this here, man, it just touches my heart because I believe God still answers the same as He did in the Old Testament, He does in the New Testament. And this just means a lot. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Okay, now here's your land. Your land is your home. You want your home healed? You want yourself healed? Then you go ahead and call God. Call the one who can do it. Call all these people in the world aren't going to do it for you. Call the one who can change that home, who can change that land, who can go out there and buy house, buy house, buy house, buy house, one at a time. Can go out there and this whole land can be changed by what God does. By what God does. By what God does.
Amen.
Dale Morey doesn't change his house. God changes Dale Morey's house. Is it always easy? No, it's not. Just yesterday I said, that's it. I had one of my jerk talks. I sat down and said, here's what's going on. You guys, I said, I'm not your boss. I'm not Hitler. I'm not trying to rain you with an iron fist. But I said, if you just listen to what God gives me and the decency and order that he has taught me for this house, things will run so much better. That includes me running the way he wants me to run. I'm not a dictator. You ask my wife and kids, I'm not a dictator, but the Lord specifically has given me some things for me and my family, for me to make sure that we do it this way, and when it falls apart, it falls apart. Guess whose shoulder is on to get it back in order? Being me. Why? Because I'm the one who let it fall apart. I'm the one who let it all fall apart. I can see her. I can see my wife. Everything is just not running right. I can just see her head. She's starting to get it. It's starting to get all twisted. It just ain't right. I got to step in and say, bang, now's the time. I got to get it right. It's getting too far. Got to stop it. Let's get it right, guys. Let's get it back in order. This is the way things got to go. It's the way it's got to be. It's the way it's got to go. Is it dictatorship where we live, Andy? No, it's not. But I tell you this. I would never want to raise my kids the way I was raised. I would never want my kids to ever live in a household the way I lived in a household. Ever. 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 Now my eyes, 2 Chronicles 7:15. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. We need to turn back to Jesus and praise and thank him for what he has done and for what he's doing in our lives. We need to thank him and what he saved us from and what he's saving from us out of this world. He has given us life, new hope, new joy, and new meaning. And we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. And we're not. We forget about what he's brought us from, what he has brought us through. We forget. Just, you know, it could be a couple weeks down the road. You got some peace, you got some joy, and everything's going well, and all of a sudden you just forgot about the stuff the Lord had to put you through to get your attention. You totally forgot about it. And you go, he's got to give you a reminder. For the first time, Pastor, for the first time I heard my wife say, honey, the Lord really started showing me my past, and she goes, I don't like it. He just gave me a glimpse of what I could have been or where I used to be. And that was on her own. She said, I just don't like it. Just don't like it. When you start getting to that point, you're starting to hear God a little differently than you ever did. You're starting to pay attention to the scripture just a little more than you ever did. And that's what he wants. He wants us to give our attention to him, to his word. He wants us to start doing the things he asks us to do. And when you start seeing who you used to be or what you used to be, you start getting a taste of that, what a bad, bad taste in your mouth it leaves. I want a whole lot less of that and a whole lot more of being close to him. Oh, but how quick we forget. Things start going good, we just put them on the back burner. We don't need them right now. Put you in my back pocket when I need your call on you. He's not having that. Not having it, how quick are we to forget what God has forgiven? Later on tonight, when you're all at home, take 5 or 10 minutes just to reflect on your past life. Just take 5 to 10 minutes and reflect on what God brought you out of. And I'll tell you what, it'll bring praise and joy in your heart like you ain't had in a long time, I guarantee you.
Yeah, amen.
I got on my face and I just laid out on my back. You guys know I'm half a cripple. And I laid out flat, straight on my face, and I just couldn't stop thanking God for what he brought me from.
Amen.
Just start, take 5 to 10 minutes and reflect. Reflect on what you used to be, where you came from. Oh, man. Oh, man, I just tell you to light you up. You might not be able to contain yourself, and that's all right. Nobody's going to see you. But God will be happy that you're finally praising him for something he did. We want to praise ourselves. Oh, good job, Dale. Keep it up, buddy. When I'm not the one that has done nothing. If at all, at any time in my entire life, I could have ever did anything for myself the way my life is today, and that's okay, I know I'm not perfect, but my life is more perfect now than it has ever been. If I could have ever done it in the past, I probably would have, but I couldn't. It took a mighty God to come into my heart, to give me a new heart, a new mind, a new life, a new mouth, a new way that I think, a new way that I do things. That's what it took. Somebody to step into my heart, fill that void, cover me with the blood, and say, now let's live a life. That's where it came from. That's where it came from. It was never me. It's always been about Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. When you're not doing those things that He just named, you are quenching the Spirit. Wonder why you're depressed? Wonder why you ain't got no happiness in your life? Wonder why there's no joy? Wonder why your prayers aren't being heard and you got no victories? You've quenched the Spirit. Why? You're not giving Him thanks for anything. You're not praising Him. You're not singing spiritual songs and hymns to Him. You're not doing anything. You're coming to His church half-hearted. You care less if you heard preaching or not here preaching. You quenched the Spirit. You made Him shut His mouth. It's done. He don't feel like doing nothing. You've quenched it. It's quiet. Shh. Quietness is shh. It's a quiet. Oh, it's a scary place to be if you're a child of God with that Spirit. It just gets quiet. And you go, uh-oh, what did I do? Where did I get myself? Let me read those verses to you again. You've heard them a million times, but there's a difference between hearing them and living them. Did you get that? There's a difference between hearing a verse, knowing a verse, and living a verse. Living verses. Living. We need to live them. Rejoice evermore. Try that when everything's falling apart. But there are things you can rejoice over. Your family's still alive. You have food on their table. You got a roof over your head. You can rejoice over things. I'm just telling you, that's how the Lord has brought me just that low, that I just start thinking of small things like that to rejoice over. He's brought me and my wife really that low to when we start thinking that small of things to rejoice over. But there's always something you can rejoice over. That's why it says rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Hey, you have your quiet prayer time, that's fine. But do you know that you can just walk around praying in your head? Oh, Lord, man, I see, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help that person. I see people sending texts, and I don't have Facebook on my phone and stuff anymore, so you don't see me on there. But it's on there just because my wife, I think she still has it. She's on there. It was time for me to get rid of it for my own self, but I don't see anything wrong with it. But for me, it was just taking too much time for me. Now I have some studying to do instead of being on Facebook. That's for me. But I would see somebody put something on Facebook, and I would just stop and pray. Just stop and pray. Just stop and pray. Just stop and pray. Pray without ceasing. You can pray all the time. When does it say you only have to pray at noon or night or whatever? It never says. It says you can pray anytime. Why can't you pray anytime? God always hears. Pray. Just stop and pray. Or drive and pray. Or listen to music and pray. Or something. God put something on your heart. Pray. We all need prayer. Pray for yourself. Pray for people around you. Look at all the families that's in this church. There's somebody that needs prayer. Pray. Pray. 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You know, swallow your pride. Swallow your will and accept God's. That's a hard thing to do. This is my will. What do you mean? I have to thank you for this? Yes. That's His will for your life in Christ Jesus. He knows what He's doing. That's when it becomes scary, when you think you know what you're doing above God.
Uh-huh.
That's when it becomes real scary. That's when things start getting out of control. It's been in control until you step in it. Then it becomes very out of control. If we would just trust, this is His will. And that's a hard thing to do. I sit there, and I'll have the situation come in my head and my heart, and I'll reach out and I'll go, but you know what? I'm going to believe the Bible on that. That's it. My mom, you know, my thoughts start getting crazy. I go, I'm believing the Bible on it. I'm believing the Bible on it. I'm going to stay on the Bible for that. Why else would I put my trust in anything else when it did to me what it did to me? Why would I put my trust in the devil or the world or drugs or people? Why would I put my trust in that when all it did was crush me? This has never done anything for me. But I can stand on this and be okay. I can stand on this and have confidence. I can believe this, and it's not always easy to believe everything you read. Your mind, your intellect will tell you, shut your intellect up. I'm just going to believe the Bible. I'm going to stand on it. Who cares about what other people think? Who cares what you think? Your thinking has been wrong your whole life. What makes it ain't gonna be any different now? Believe the Bible. Let it be right. Let it transform that mind. Let it transform and renew who you are. Let everything become different. Let everything become new. Stop fighting. Just go with it. It's a beautiful life. It's a wonderful life. Hardest life I ever went through, but you know what? I choose this. I choose this over anything that I ever went through in my entire life. Anything. Why? Because I'm suffering for good. I'm suffering for the good of things now. I'm not suffering for the idiocy that I've done. I'm suffering for something that's worth suffering for. He thought I was worth suffering for. He thought, from that cross, he thought I was plenty enough to suffer for. Matter of fact, he thought I was plenty enough to die for. None of you guys would do that for me. Past, present, or future. He did.
Amen.
Jesus has given us liberty, but not to use it as a free ticket to live according to the flesh. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. But here we go. Here's the biggest forgotten thing in all churches in the history right now. I'm going to say it. I see it so much, and I just can't stand it. But by love, serve one another. Where's the love for the brethren, man? Where's the love for each other?
Come on.
Where is it in the churches? I mean, Black Creek is special. I'm pretty sure we all at least like each other here. But you go to other churches and they can't stand each other. And I'm sure there's some of that that goes on here. I'm not stupid. But where's the love? Where? Right there. By love, serve one another. In love. A lot of people here love Sam. So they got him a cake and card and, hey, see you later, Sam, and all that. Why? Because they love him. They're going to miss him. He's not our child. But how long has he been here? 7 years? He kind of grew on all of us. And so, that's love. That's love. He's a perfect stranger to us. He's not our family. But it feels like he is. That's special. But that's a lost art anymore these days. It's just not in churches anymore. Very few places that, and it's scary. 1 Peter 2:15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By you doing well, you're going to shut these fools up. You're going to silence them. Oh, there ain't no real God. Oh, there ain't no good. Shh. You can silence them by doing the will of God. You can silence them by loving each other so they can see there's something different about these people that come out of these doors every day. There's something different about their life. There's something different about this person at work. There's something different about this person when they're doing this and that. You can silence their mouth, silence their ignorance. You know, ignorance, they just don't have a clue about it. They don't want to give this the time of day. They don't have a clue about it. But by our good, by living and doing what the Lord has said, we can silence that. Silence that. Instead, we want to fight it. We want to run our mouths on it. We want to run our mouths on it. 2:16 says, as free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. By living in which we are called, we will do the will of God and shut the mouths of the foolish and unbelievers. What's the answer? Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou left my first love. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen and repent. Remember where we've come from. Remember where God has brought us from. And I know that verse is not talking, but it just fits perfectly. Just remember. That's what I want you to do. Just remember where God is taking you from. Remember where Jesus Christ has pulled you out of. Now, he pulled you out of something. Because you were stuck. He pulled you up out of something. Remember that. And return to him. Return to him, or else you'll never ever learn how to love him or trust him or anything else. Remember Jesus for what he delivered us from. Be thankful for all that he has done and still doing. Forgetting what he has done will only lead to a life of misery, unrest, destruction of the flesh. After salvation, Jesus should have become our first love, and we need to keep him there. Don't forget what Jesus has forgiven. Don't forget where he has pulled you from. And I'm done.